Poorly Read.
Okay, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. This is episode 15. We're going to talk about...
sex, baby.
Thank you, Gifton. To be fair, we probably are.
We're
pretty heavy on sex jokes. Let's be honest.
I apologize to everyone. Yeah. I don't know how we would manage to, like, maybe we should try to actively avoid sex jokes and see how we fare.
We run the risk of it being one of the dullest episodes we've done.
Yeah, it would just sound sort of like an unused pilot script for like a German sitcom.
Why? Because Germans never make sex jokes in their sitcoms. It's well known.
Right, so we're beginning with chapter 4 of yes. The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, that wasn't a Harry Potter. That wasn't one of the characters saying it. So it's Azkaban.
Yeah, that was Mr. Fry.
Yes.
Mr. McCain's oven fry.
I can't remember if that bit about him saying Azkaban and Azkaban actually was in the final episode or not.
Oh, I think it was.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't, I can just restate it here. So.
I think people get the gist.
People get the gist. Oh, maybe that's what we should call, like, ejaculate from now on.
What, the gist?
Yeah.
She got the gist.
We said you weren't going to make sex jokes.
Oh, damn, we just can't help it. Well, at least it's not teachers fondling students.
Yes, which is a marked improvement from every other episode.
Right, chapter 4 is called The Leaky Cauldron.
Oh, The Leaky Cauldron. Oh, now it'll just like, stop. It's like a tsunami. It's like the boy laid his finger in the dike.
What?
There's like an old folks tale about a boy who put his finger in the dam, the dike, to stop it from bursting. I don't really know what the, like, moral of that story is.
And then what, did he have to stay there forever?
I think so. I don't know. I've just heard that phrase a lot.
Huh.
I think it's maybe a phrase that you use as, like, as if when someone sort of volunteers themselves to stop a situation completely falling apart, and then it's their responsibility to sort of maintain it.
Put their finger in the dike.
So that's a lesson to everyone. If you see a dike, put your finger in
Bob's
it.
Bob's finger up there.
But only if it says it's okay. Right, so just a little bit of info quick. The Weasleys galleons win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they won 700 galleons, right? In Muggle pounds, that is 3,451 pounds. Which will probably be approximately like $4,000.
Like pre-Brexit?
Oh, God. So, yeah, and Tom, I was like, that's a lot of money. And then Tom was like, do you know what, though? For like that larger family to have that kind of holiday, that is kind of standard. Yeah, like,
well, to be fair, I'm thinking about flights, which they probably don't do, but we haven't quite established how they travel. Because like nine return flights to Egypt is, to be fair, in July, it's probably cheaper because in... at that like peak summertime, I think, just from what I vaguely remember, it's way too hot in Egypt. It's like 40 degrees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like they are not stepping outside for more than like a few seconds at a time because they're like light-skinned and ginger.
Yeah, there is not enough factor to like block that
there
burn.
There is not. Yeah, like July, like peak summer is almost like off-season for like the Saharan countries.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Because it's just too hot.
Fucking hell. So with global warming, like, there's going to come a point where it's almost like you just can't be outside during those months, really.
I think so. I mean, I think that almost is the case during, like, the peak sun hours of the day.
Mm.
You just go inside from, you know, God. 1 till 4 or whatever.
God, that's upsetting.
Yeah.
Well, I can only imagine that they had to fly because they didn't do sidelong apparition.
They didn't do what?
Sidelong apparition.
Guess good say, good sir.
So when you grab onto a wizard that can apparate and then you apparate with them.
Oh, right, yeah.
Maybe it's sidelong. I don't think it's said as sidelong. I think it's said as side-long apparition.
Huh.
Because Dumbledore does it with Harry a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they apparate. Yeah.
And we're back on teachers doing it with students.
and we're back in the room. And it's like a family trip to like Disney World, say, would cost around that much. And that's not even like a luxury holiday. That's just kind of like a standard family holiday to a quite expensive place, I guess, because of the flights, like you said.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like if they had got on a Muggle aeroplane, I don't know.
I feel like Mrs. Weasley couldn't have dealt with that. I bet Mr. Weasley was like, "He would have loved Molly. It. Should we maybe try a Muggle aeroplane?" And she was like, "No!" And then just like slamming her head in the oven. And I was like, "Okay, Molly, okay." Oh, God. But yeah, it probably would have been a bit cheaper.
Yeah, because I don't think they would have had to get flights. But
and they could have shrunk down the kids and just put the kids in their hand luggage. Oh, God. Alas, that didn't happen, and the Weasleys are poor again.
Yeah. But then there was a thing about Fred and George got 1,000 galleons and used some of it to open a shop, and we reckon that was probably just like a deposit or whatever.
Yeah, I think so, because afterwards we were like, okay, but you don't usually buy this space that your shop is in, you just rent it. So they probably just like were able to afford the deposit for the rent and stuff to pay for Weasley's Wizarding Weasleys.
Yeah, okay. All makes sense in the world now.
Yeah. So J.K. Rowling can get a gold star from me.
So some roughly
can
work out.
JK put a finger in the dike again. Oh, God. So chapter 4, the leaky cauldron. What's that in French?
I don't know the word for cauldron or leaky.
Well, like, what's pot in French?
Pou.
Is it?
I think so.
And what is like drippy in like French?
I don't know. Le chaudron qui fuit is what I've got. The cauldron that leaks.
The cauldron that leaks. It probably is written as that in the French translation of the book, right?
Oh, God, it's been so long since I fucking spoke French. I have no idea.
Yeah, Tom spent like a whole like year in France or a summer in France.
Just a month.
Oh, that's less impressive than I thought.
Yeah.
But it would take away all of your achievements.
I know. I spent like 2 years learning French and then spent a month in France living with a French family. And I used to be able to speak French okay. Now it's all disappearing.
I mean, it's just like maths, isn't it? Oh, as in like the maths you learn in school, because you never have to use it again really afterwards. You just end up forgetting it.
Oh, I see.
It.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, is it?
Right, so we start this chat with Harry sort of like waking up after his realization that he gets to spend a whole 2 weeks free of the Dursleys. And his only option really is to hang about in Diagon Alley because he's not really allowed anywhere else. He hasn't got anywhere else to go, to be fair.
No, and he says that the long cobbled street is full of the most fascinating shops he's ever seen. So he didn't really have any sort of inclination to go out into the Muggle world.
Yeah, and it's like fair enough. And he still had homework to do, so he had lots to, like, occupy his time, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd be too bothered about going out into Muggle London, to be honest.
Yeah, same. So one thing that just sort of straight off the bat, when he sort of goes to venture out into the Diagon, oh, God, that sounds like a hipster club that they open up. He sees, like, a hag in the leaky cauldron feeding herself raw liver, like, through her balaclava. And I'm really curious as to what a hag actually is then, because it's never really spoken about in the books. It's just like that, like a quirky creature that's mentioned every now and again.
And also, warlocks. What are warlocks?
Yeah.
And dwarves.
I mean, we all know what a dwarf is, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, are they just
little people? Scourge in our society, Tom. I'm just joshing.
I mean, are they, is it like, so it's people he sees, like, because he has breakfast in the leaky cauldron every day, and he sees all kinds of people passing through on their way to Diagon Alley, witches, wizards, along with their various adjectives, and wild-looking warlocks, raucous dwarves, and someone he suspected was a hag who ordered a plate of raw liver.
I mean, because Dumbledore has the title of, like, Chief Warlock of the something.
Oh.
So I don't really know what warlock is supposed to be. Because the actual term of a warlock is just a male witch.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's supposed to be then in the Harry Potter world, especially if she's used it to describe a title that Dumbledore has earned. That seems bizarre.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you can identify a warlock from a wizard just by the way. It's almost like they're the sort of wild, like almost feral version.
That's what it sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like before there were wizards, there were warlocks.
Yeah, like the Neanderthals of
humans. Maybe that kind of is what it is then, I guess.
Maybe.
Then why have they not died out?
I mean,
I suppose everyone's got to be given a chance, right?
They?
Everyone needs something to laugh at.
There you go. That's why the dwarves are there.
Look, there's seven of them. Oh, what a coinkydink.
But then, yeah, I don't think dwarves ever get a mention again.
Yeah, there's only goblins, there's...
House elves.
House elves. Are gnomes a thing?
Well, the garden gnomes, that they de-gnome the garden.
Oh, of course, yeah, okay. So yeah, dwarves, maybe it was just a small man.
Raucous dwarves.
I mean, he could have had a whiskey.
But several of them. There's plural.
Yeah. Maybe they were like, look, we just finished at the mine. We just want to have a drink. Just got a call that there's some fucking bitch who's broke into our house. Fucking started cleaning it and shit. Like, what the fuck?
She keeps making us whistle while we work.
Yeah. I'm like, bitch, I'll do some whistling, but I ain't going to be while I'm working. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? yeah, I think it's just another JKQ. So he sort of goes, we see him sort of venture into Diagon. We sort of get a description of all the shops he passes and things.
Yeah, he goes into a couple, top up his supplies, goes into the apothecary to top up his potion supplies, and goes into the bookshop. And before we get onto the fucking, the thing is obviously going to make both of us roll our eyes. What kind of spells do you think are in the standard Book of Spells books?
I can only imagine it's stuff like how to like levitate a chair, how to clean a cauldron, how to just like the most like sort of basic like.
I guess, but I suppose levitation is charms, isn't it?
Yeah,
they do the Wingardium Leviosa. So
yeah,
wouldn't
it's
that be in
like
a...
I think it's just like a generic spell book.
Yeah, I guess, but then a lot of the subjects have their own specific books as well.
Yeah, but think about it, they never just like pull out the standard Book of Spells in class.
No, exactly. So that's why I'm curious about what spells are actually in it.
Yeah, I can only imagine it's just sort of like a very general...
Yeah, like Lumos maybe.
Yeah, so all sort of things like that. So maybe that's how Harry learned it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Just finally got around to opening standard Book of Spells and was like, yeah. Oh, there's a load of handy shit in here. Turgio.
Like, fucking hell, now I ain't got to have crispy sheets anymore. Oh, God.
Crispy sheets.
I can imagine just Petunia giving him a very stern talking to about that. She's like, I won't have this nonsense in my house.
I will not suffer crispy sheets.
Yeah, you fucking gisting everywhere. he sees, like, a moving model of the galaxy in one of the shots. And I thought that must be the best like thing I would see that day, I feel.
Yeah, that
like,
would be awesome.
That'd be beautiful, I think.
And he said then he would never have to take another astrology lesson again.
Yeah,
if he got
why?
That. But like, you still have to learn what it all means when
yeah,
they're in the places.
It's just
Harry
being a fucking idiot. It's like, ugh, anyway, he goes and gets gold from his vault, and because he keeps on seeing amazing things, because he sees a set of solid gold gobstones, and he's like, he would have to spend all of his money for like the year to get them, and he had to really restrain himself because he has access to all of his gold.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at the self-restraint this boy like shows, like having all that money available and being like, no, it's okay. I'm just going to take exactly what I need and like ration it. When you're what, like 13? That's impressive, I feel.
It is impressive, yeah. Because now, I mean, I understand. He'd be like, well, I've got to buy my school materials and, you know, all my money for the next, until I leave school and get a job.
Yeah.
This has got to last me throughout that entire time. So yeah, I've got to be sensible with it. But for a 13-year-old to be thinking like that.
I think I was just taking it all out and just gone to fucking like, probably the sweet shop. Be like, just give me everything. I buy the shop and then just eat everything and be like, oh God, what have I done in my life?
I guess I live here now.
Yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, so he does that. Goes past like the Quidditch shop and he sees that a new broom is on sale and it's the Firebolt.
Yeah.
And it's like the Irish Quidditch team, I think, have bought them all. They've put an order in for all of their players. It's like the fastest broom available, can do all this kind of shit. And it says price available on request. So, yeah. You know, it's like that. I can only imagine that the galleons for that would have been like, easily over like 10,000, I reckon. I reckon that is probably like the Rolls Royce or like the Bentley of like brooms.
Yeah, yeah, it must be.
Yeah, so I was a bit like, ooh. And he goes and buys his books because he has to buy the Monster Book of Monsters, does he?
Well, he goes into the bookshop and the guy looks at him and he's like, Hogwarts? And Harry's like, yes. And the guy...
Yes, thank you.
And suddenly he's Mr. Burns. And then the guy's like, oh, right, out the way, puts on a big pair of gloves and goes to where all the monster books are, like, ripping each other apart. And Harry's like, I've already had one of those.
Oh, God.
He says, I already have one of those. And the guy's like, oh, do you? Thank fuck.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lose any more fingers today.
Yeah, and I thought, I mean, how much can, like, books clamping down on you rip? Do they have teeth?
Yeah, I think so. Well, they do in the film for sure.
Oh.
So that's quite upsetting.
That is quite upsetting, yeah.
Which I think is why it's such a struggle to get them open, because they do have teeth. And they, like, another little JKQ she inserts. The guy goes, well, I suppose it's not as bad as when we made that order for the Invisible Book of Invisibility.
Yeah.
Like, we ordered like 500 of them and never found them. That's the kind of thing that if he said that to me, expecting a laugh, I would have looked at him blankly and been like, can I just have my book, please? Yeah. I thought, fuck off. No one made that book. No one made that book.
No, it was a scam.
Yeah.
And, and if he fell for it.
Hey, so, I have a lot of invisible books. If you pay me 20,000, I will send you all of them and only keep one to myself. Oh, God. So, yeah, he gets the books. I did think, why don't they already have, like, a pre-packed bag of the Hogwarts school, like, book sets?
That would be a great... I mean, well, clearly this bookshop owner's a fucking moron. He's fell for the invisibility book trap.
So to be fair.
So he probably hasn't thought of it, but that's a great idea, yeah.
Yeah, I did think, because if you just had, like, you know, if you got... If you knew how many students were in each year, and then you just had sort of, like, pre-packed book sets for each year, like, say, like, 20 for each year...
Yeah.
Then you just sold them as they came.
Yeah.
That would have made so much sense.
That would make too much sense for it to be a feature of the series.
Yeah, she doesn't like things to be as streamlined as that, does she?
No, like everything needs to be a little bit quirky and off-center and everyone's sort of scrabbling about.
Yeah.
trying to make the best of their lives with magic.
Harry sees the book on death omens in the shop as well.
Yeah, catches
his eye. And he recognises there's like a picture of a demonic looking dog on the front.
Yeah, and the guy says, oh, I wouldn't look too closely at that if I was you. People read that, they start seeing death omens everywhere, enough to scare anyone to death.
And I was like, I'm sure that's not true.
I don't know. It might be. If you do read something all about death, like in the way you... watch a scary movie and then you start thinking there's like killers in the bathroom.
Literally me.
It's one of your many neuroses.
Of which there are hundreds. Yes. So no oceans, no darkness. No, no homemade cakes.
I always thought, like, whenever I used to find myself getting scared about a scary film I watched, I would always just think to myself, well, why? I've been in this dark room loads of times before, and now just because I've watched that film, why does that suddenly mean there's going to be a weird, freaky thing in here now?
I mean, I get that.
And I sort of logicked my way out of it that way.
But you're quite a logical person, though.
Yeah.
So you can sort of very much like be like, this is ridiculous. Whereas me, I'm like, no, I feel like this is going to be a
You're
thing.
All emotional. And hormonal.
I'm just constantly like PMSing, like, Jesus Christ. There's a monster in my room and my sheets are all soggy. Alas. Earwax. I'm not saying earwax anymore. I refuse. I'm sorry.
You're just saying alas.
Yeah, alas.
And then we'll let the silence carry for a minute and then we'll move on.
Yeah. What's alas backwards? Salah.
Salah.
Salah. I don't like the way that sounds either.
Why not?
I don't have to explain myself, yeah. Tom. So Harry, he runs into Seamus and Dean in Diagon Alley, and for some reason it was just as soon as I read that I just remembered like our like Harry being racist like stint. So I imagined his like interaction with Dean.
I don't know if I remember that.
Do you know about him burning the cross in the garden?
Oh yeah.
Imagine he's like, Seamus. Hello, Dean. Yeah. Harry took three steps backwards.
Yeah.
God.
Well, wiped his hand clean on his trousers after shaking Dean's hand.
Dean was like, what was that for, Harry? Harry was like, never mind. Nothing for you to worry about, young man.
Yeah.
And then he sort of, that's on one day. And then I think on the next day, he sees Harry and, no, not Harry, Ron and Hermione.
Yeah, he briefly sees Neville on one day as well, getting scolded by his grandmother. And so he doesn't like stop and make chat.
Neville needs a break and a foster home.
Brain.
He needs a lot of things, to be fair.
Yeah.
Maybe most of all, just to be put out of his misery. Harry saw Neville and did the kindest thing in Avada Kedavra to him.
Yeah.
There, he thought. Finally, he's happy.
Yeah, he's like the alternate chosen one, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he was like the chosen one, take one. And then the creator was like, I think I can do better.
Yeah, I think I took this one out of the oven a bit too early.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's close. It's almost a fully functional human, but...
Damn it, I forgot the nutmeg. So yeah, he bumps into Ron and Hermione outside Florian Fortescue's. And what we didn't mention is that Harry's been doing his homework at Florian Fortescue's every day.
Yeah, who is not only a banging ice cream maker, but also an expert on witch burnings.
Is he?
Yeah.
I missed that bit. Why is he an expert on witch burnings?
Well, he just says he also seemed to know an awful lot about the, you know, witch burnings of medieval witch burnings and stuff.
Yeah, he's like, Harry, you know, if you ever want to join me on one of my witch burning excursions, it's just me and, you know, a group of like-minded wizards. Let me just find, let's just call them undesirables. Yeah. And, yeah, you know.
Unsavouries, you know the type.
Yeah, and we basically just show them who's boss, you know.
Yeah.
No flame-freezing charms for them.
No.
And he's also been giving Harry free ice cream sundaes every half an hour.
Every half an hour.
That's a lot.
I think I would have two. And then on the third one, I'd be like, I don't know. Thank
also,
you.
Also, I've just shat myself from all the lactose. So Hermione's like, because she has money for some reason. Why does she have money? Because she wins something or she got given some money for her birthday or something.
Yeah, she said her parents gave her some money for something that I can't remember, but she must have had it translated into wizard money.
Yeah, and then she's like, and then Harry's like, well, what are you going to spend it on? And she's like, I'm actually thinking I'm going to buy an owl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's sensible, Hermione.
That is sensible.
But also I thought, why do you need an owl? You ain't got no other friends.
Also a good point. Who's she going to be owling to?
Yeah.
She wants to write home to our parents.
Maybe she's just going to owl herself.
Ooh.
Fucking hell. That would be a bloody and uncomfortable, I feel.
Oh my God. I was thinking, what does that euphemism mean? But no, you're just going literal.
Not necessarily. I just imagine that whichever way you looked at it, there would be some sort of like talons involved. Oh god!
I learned from Ginny and her experiments with the fangs.
Oh god!
All that basilisk venom.
Oh fucking hell! Well, maybe she likes it when it goes numb, right? You can fit more up there.
She's 11 years old.
Oh, fucking hell, don't say that. It makes me feel ashamed. Also, let me speak the moment that Tom fucking got a conscience.
Yeah. It's, I know, it's too little too late, isn't it?
Oh, God. So they go to the pet shop. Dr. Zip Bags, Transylvanian Pet Shop. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, it was a cartoon on CITV. It was exactly what it was. Dr. Zip Bags, Transylvanian Pet Shop.
Huh. Okay.
Dr. Zip Bags, Transylvanian Pet Shop. That's what it was. And his little pet was a talking dog, and it was just like a dog skeleton. And the dog's name was Dog's Body. I thought that was cute. It's nice. Like his little butler as well.
What was the thing that used to be like in the dark, dark house?
Oh,
with the...
fucking of the two skeletons.
Yeah.
In dark, dark street on a dark, dark night. Yeah. Skelly Bones, I think it was called, yeah, or Funny Bones or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
And two, might I say, quite obviously homosexual skeletons.
Yeah.
And then nighttime excursions.
Very progressive for the time.
Yeah, they would always be going to like a little club or a party.
And they come home, they've got their dog. That's what reminded me of it.
Oh, God, yeah, fucking hell. Kids TV, man.
Oh, those gay skeletons. Right, wow. So yeah, Ron pulls out Scabbers. They go to the pet shop because, yeah, Hermione wants to buy an owl, and Ron is concerned because Scabbers is looking thinner and paler than usual.
Yeah, a bit peaky.
Yeah.
And he wants to get the woman behind the counter to take a look at him.
Yeah, and she's just like, well, I mean, yeah, he looks a bit down and out, doesn't he? You sure you don't want to like trade it in for one of these ones?
Yeah.
There's like skipping. Ron's just like, flash git. Yeah.
That's so typical Ron though, isn't it?
Yeah, he's just got no time for the skipping rat. But I just think it's hilarious that rather than offer to, there's no sense of like compassion for this boy's pet. It's just like, oh, yeah. You sure you don't want to just like be done with that one and get a new one?
I think just because she can just take it out back and just avada kedavra it.
Yeah.
It's like, look, there's no harm, no foul.
Yeah. Do you think if you kill a person while they're in animagus form, do they revert back to their human form?
That's a good question.
Because I'm just thinking, well, I'm thinking about Dungeons and Dragons, like wild shape, which you do.
Yeah, but don't you die as your animal and then you go back to a human form?
Yeah, and then you just revert back to human.
Yeah,
I feel like it probably works differently, though.
No, I reckon it might be this. I reckon you probably still die, but I reckon you probably change back. It's like when werewolves die, they usually turn back into their human forms, right? In like any given media.
So can you imagine if the pet shop owner did take Scabbers out back to Avada Kedavra and then suddenly just boom, naked Peter Pettigrew?
Oh my God. She's like, oh, it's what I've always wanted.
Finally, it's happened.
Yeah, finally, after all these rats. She puts on like a little like mouse hat, locks the door. Oh God. Yeah, and then this fucking cat jumps down and tries to attack Scabbers.
Yeah.
And Ron's like, fuck off. And she's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the woman's like, oh, sorry, this cat's got a bit of an attitude problem or something. And they leave the shop with some rat tonic. And then Hermione leaves shortly after and she's bought the fucking cat.
Yeah, which made me think, like, what? Hermione?
I think Hermione just saw herself in the cat. She was like, oh, I've been told to fuck off my whole life too. Why don't we fuck off together?
I've been trying to eat Ron's rat constantly.
And that is a euphemism. Yeah. Yeah, so the cat's name is Crookshanks.
Yeah, did Hermione name it that, or did...
I think that was the name of it already, actually, yeah. Breaking down the name, like, Crook and Shanks are both, like, prison terms, I guess.
Yeah, Crookshanks. Who does Crookshank?
Oh, he's the nastiest cat in the West. Oh, a question I had as well, kind of leading on from your Pettigrew one, is do you think whenever he was, like, properly alone, he ever turned back into Pettigrew for a little while?
I don't know. I feel like he just sort of settled into being the rat.
Because you would imagine something. I thought, say, like, everyone was out the house, Mrs. Weasley had gone to the shops, because that would be quite a journey, because there's nowhere close to where they live. So it'd be at least an hour he would have on his own.
Which he would apparate.
No, because only shops near to them are, like, muggle shops, right?
Suppose so.
Because I think she probably does, if she needs, like, some milk or whatever, she might just go down to, like, the local, like, Aldi. See, do you think he was ever just like, okay, there's no one home, let me just, like, stretch my legs. We just like, you know,
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, because it's got to be, I mean, living as a rat for that long, you've got to get, like, I want to say Stockholm syndrome, but that's not quite what I mean.
I know what you mean,
but you sort of almost become one with the rat that you are.
Yeah, you were just sort of like acclimatized to it, I guess.
Yeah,
but I don't know, maybe just once a year he just needs to have a little alone time, you know.
Yeah,
because those rat's hands don't bend that far down. I can't imagine.
Just stretch out on Ron's bed.
Maybe he just goes and gets on with the ghoul up in the attic. Oh,
that's what it sounds like.
They see like a wanted poster for Sirius Black, I think, as well.
Yeah, do they? Yeah, I think so.
And I sort of wondered, they bump into Mr. and Mrs. Weasley, and Mr. Weasley says something about Sirius Black, how the ministry, it's been 2 weeks now, we still have no trace of him in the ministry, yep. Blah, blah, blah. And this is a question that should have been posed on the Harry Potter fandom for a while. I always wondered why, if owls can find anyone, why didn't they just send an owl to find Sirius?
Yeah.
Like, actually.
Yeah.
There's no good reason, right?
Maybe there's something about, again, it's like vague, ambiguous, loose magic rules. But like, maybe it's something to do with like, if a wizard can will an owl to, you know, if the magic bond between wizard and owl is like, you know where your destination is.
Yeah.
Fly the letter to wherever this person is. If the person doesn't want to be found, maybe it can act to cancel it out in some way.
Maybe, because I guess the correspondence between him and Harry is like a wanted correspondence, right? So maybe that's why it works.
Yeah.
So maybe you can't send owls to people who don't want to be owled.
Yeah, maybe.
But then if you were going to like sue someone, you'd need the owl to deliver like these summons.
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe, but then like, I guess they're not like actively trying to, maybe there's some sort of active, you know, correspondence repulsion aura you can activate.
I reckon that's a question, if we asked her, she'd be like, oh, it's because of this. I mean, she'd be like that about everything. I feel like she would have had a reason that she didn't just prepare on the spot for that.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Well, I mean, she'd have a reason by now. If it's a long-standing question from the community,
yeah,
then there'll be an answer to it.
I wonder if her kids ever ask her these questions when they've
read
the books.
How old are her kids?
Her daughter is, I think, probably, maybe not close to our age, but...
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, because she had a daughter which she was writing.
Actually, she probably is close to our age, maybe like 27, 28.
Yeah.
Her son, I think, is probably a teenager by now. I don't know how many kids. I think she only has two. Anyway, I will never get a chance to ask JK.
No, we have literally severed all potential ties.
I still get the feeling she's going to like end up listening to this and love it. I really do. I think she'll find it funny.
I would hope so. What else do they do in...
I mean, that's kind of it, really. They all eat at the Leaky Cauldron and then they all spend the night there because the next day they're going to go off to King's Cross to get the...
Yeah, and there's something like Percy's new head boy and he's embossed something with HB and George jokes that it stands for huge big head.
God, yeah, and they try to bewitch his fucking badge to say big head boy.
Yeah.
And like, you guys are fucking like pranksters extraordinaire and that's the best you can come up with.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe they are just those worst type of people who insist on trying to be funny and
then not.
You know
what, you saying that to me literally like blew my mind. Just then I was like, fuck, maybe they are actual like people I wouldn't want to be friends with.
Yeah.
Maybe they are like funny in like the like Enid Blyton way.
I'm sure they make each other laugh loads.
Yeah, I bet they do.
As soon as I said that, I knew what the response was going to be.
Yeah, because I would have bewitched it to say something like "gives head boy" or something like that. You know, not fucking big. Oh, it's so shit.
It is just so shit. But even keeping it like, you know, PG,
yeah.
I'm sure there's something better you could come up with.
I don't think you can, keeping it PG.
No. I guess that kind of limits what can be actually in the book then.
Yeah, they could have just said they bewitched it with something very, very rude, which made Harry blush.
Yeah.
Blush and fan himself.
And say, oh my.
Oh my stars. So yeah, but Harry overhears Molly and Arthur arguing and Arthur is... kind of handily telling Molly about the issue of why Sirius Black is such a... Because Arthur wants to tell Harry about why Sirius is a danger.
Yeah.
And Molly's Arthur... like, no, Arthur, you can't.
Yeah.
I like it when they're scared.
Yeah. Yeah. So Arthur wants to tell Harry that Sirius Black is like after him and Harry's the one that Sirius wants to kill. And Mrs. Weasley's like, no, you can't put that burden on him. And yeah, it all gets a bit heated. But I'm not sure they like come to a decision in the end.
I don't think they do. I think they just end up like, you know, angrily making out.
Yeah.
He just lifts up her mini skirts, puts his head under.
Time to shrink you down, Arthur.
Time to give you my spotted dick, Molly. Yeah. Oh, yes. Rhubarb and crumble. Thank you very much. Ah, custard. Okay.
And during that conversation,
yeah. Sorry, go on, carry on.
During the actual conversation that they have, again, Mrs. Weasley says, it's the Azkaban guards that will get him, or one of them
that,
says.
Yeah. They both say it about three times in that sort of...
Yeah, they both talk about the Azkaban guards.
Yeah, and I did think... Now, because now you brought my attention to it, I'm like, yeah, that's hyper weird.
It's super annoying, because now I bet... Because we get the next, we're about at the next chapter now, and it's called The Dementor. And
yeah.
And I bet once we're introduced to what the Dementor is, no characters ever refer to them as the Azkaban guards ever again.
Which is weird. But yeah, just to finish off that chapter, Harry sort of goes to bed that night. And he's not really worried about it. He's more worried about that he's not got his Hogsmeade form filled out.
Yeah.
Then out loud, he goes, I'm not going to get murdered. And then the mirror goes, that's the spirit, dear. And yeah. I really liked that. I thought that was super cute. That was like, yeah, one of like the little things I love in the books.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was nice. Yeah, then that leads us pretty much straight on to chapter 5, which is the Dementor or Dementor.
Yes, the one who dements.
That would have been a better like name for it. The one who dements.
The one who dements. It will make you demented.
I'm going to dement you.
Oh, God, I'm demented. It got too close.
So, yeah, they get ready to head to King's Cross. They're all sort of like fighting about in the leaky cauldron. Mrs. Weasley is telling the girls about this love potion she made when she was a little girl. I'm pretty sure that love potions are illegal to like do.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Amortentia, although he shows them how to make it in book 6, it's like actual an illegal potion to do.
It's called Amortentia.
That's the strongest love potion. I think there's like lesser ones.
That's cool, because it's got like Amor for love and Mort for death as well. It's like...
Oh, I didn't know that. Love. I mean, I got the Amor, but I didn't know the thing. Oh, wow, okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that was intentional, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
I mean, I would have thought it would be. It's pretty heavy. It takes a pretty heavy toll on a person's psyche, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's as dangerous as like a death spell or a death potion.
But it's dangerous not only for the person taking it, but for the person they fall in love with as well. So they become like obsessive.
Yeah, I don't know how long the potion lasts. I think you have to keep on. Yeah, because Tom Riddle's mum gives it to his dad, didn't she? She keeps on giving it to him.
Does she?
Yeah, that's how she hooks him.
Yeah, I don't. This is one of the deep lore things that you you know about, and I'm just like, okay.
I mean, it's pretty explicit in book 6, but as we know, you haven't read them, so. So yeah, they get on the train.
I have read them.
I have read them, Mom, I swear. Don't you back talk to me, boy.
So yeah, the ministry send cars to pick them up. Which, and, you know, it hasn't been, like, it's been stated to the reader why, because, you know, Sirius Black's a danger and everything, but the kids are just kind of like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, don't they be like, why do we need cars, though? And doesn't one of them go, why are we having cars? And Mr. Weasley's like, well, you know, just because, you know. He doesn't really tell them why.
Indistinct mumbling.
Yeah, which is like, oh, okay, so they go to King's Cross, they get on the train, as you do. And they managed to find an almost empty cabin.
Yeah, but Mr. Weasley does take Harry aside before he gets on the train.
Oh, I see. Harry's like, "It's all right, mate. I heard you last night.
Yeah.
I heard everything." And Mr. Weasley's like, okay, you might have heard some terms you don't understand.
Yeah.
A Yorkshire pudding in this context isn't. Harry's like, I don't want to know. Yeah, and then Mr. Weasley's like, oh, I didn't want you to find out like that. But, you know, and then Harry's like, no, it's fine, because this way you haven't broken your promise to Fudge that you wouldn't tell anyone or tell me anything, you know. But at least I'm prepared. You know, I'm not worried. I mean, like, Voldemort has been trying to kill me for years.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not scared of some fucking, like, follower. It's just such a Harry attitude to have. Yeah, that's pretty much it. They go through the barriers 2 by 2, hurrah. And they get on the train.
They get on the train and Harry says, I need to talk to you guys in private.
Yeah.
So they find a compartment. And
they go to the nearest bathroom. Squeeze in.
Just like the old days of the Moaning Myrtle. And Harry says, I need to talk to you in private. And Ron immediately just says, go away, Ginny.
I love that so much. I did love that. Ron is becoming my favourite character, man. He's just cool.
Yeah, he is a G. But then after Harry, like, explains.
Sorry.
Are you laughing at the fact that I called him a G?
Yeah. I love how my, like, vernacular is just infecting you.
I know, it has. I keep wanting to say swish and rad.
Oh, God. Yeah, they do find an almost empty compartment, right? But it has almost a man in it who has the words R.J. Lupin.
Professor R.J. Lupin.
Professor R.J. Lupin.
On a shabby old briefcase that he must have had for a while. So yeah. Has he always been a professor?
Huh. That's a question.
Yeah, unless he just had his old briefcase recently embossed.
When I read that, I just sort of imagined that he did because he's just coming to school now. But then maybe he was. Yeah, what did he do before?
Yeah,
this?
Just full-time werewolf.
I guess so. Maybe he just really lived job, on the it? Fringe of society. Maybe he lived in like a little like werewolf camp.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that would smell good.
I imagine he's described as like a lot older than he appears in the films, I think.
I imagine that he's described younger, just more tired looking.
Oh, really? So it's yeah. His like worn grey face with lines.
Yeah, but I don't think it was because he was old. Because they said he... Cause I'm sure they say he wasn't old looking, but he did have grey in his hair.
Oh.
As per usual, I'm probably wrong. But I'm sure I heard them say like a word in there that says that he wasn't... He looked older than he was. Or he looked like he might have been older than, you know... Because he's not that old. He would only be early 30s.
Oh, of course, because it was in James's year, wasn't it? James Sirius's year.
So
yeah.
I think he's just been through a bit of
that. Oh, yeah, cool. No. Yeah, because I always imagined him, just because of the way he's described, I kind of imagined him as an old man, but then, yeah, he can't be.
I think he's early 30s and fucking tired, man.
Yeah.
Maybe well, like as if he'd been on crystal meth, you know?
I mean, yeah, get every month doing the transformation, like... That's got to be exhausting, isn't it?
I think because he fights it, I reckon if he just sort of didn't mind it too much, gave himself over it too more, I reckon he'd feel a bit more invigorated.
Yeah, maybe, but you've got to be concerned about what you're going to do. Like, you become a dangerous...
But then the Wolfsbane potion, like, it prevents that, doesn't it? So...
Does it?
It gives you still change, but you retain your mind.
Oh, okay.
So you're in the body of a wolf, but you're still a human, like, human mind.
Well, how long has that been a thing, then?
It wasn't a thing when he was in school. It was a relatively new discovery. So it's been around for, I imagine it's probably been around since probably Harry was a baby. But yeah, it wasn't a thing when he was in high school, I don't think.
Huh.
Yeah. So yeah, while they're in the cabin, the sneaker scope goes off and like Ron's like, oh, it's been fucking playing up all year.
Yeah.
Not all year, ever since I got it. And it just happens that he is holding Scabbers at that point. And then kind of out of nowhere, the train stops.
Yeah, and Ron's like, oh, good, we're here. I'm glad I'm starving, ready for the feast. And Hermione's like, well, we can't be there yet. It's not nearly time. Mysterio. And then the lights suddenly go off.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the... I mean, to cut a long story short, Dementors get on board. and Lupin wakes up when this happens. And in a big departure from the film, he puts like magic fire in his hand. And then the Dementor opens the carriage door and he goes up to the Dementor with
You're
the fire
a big
in his
departure
hand.
From the film as if that occurred first.
No. I mean, just because the film is what I watch more and it makes more sense, the kind of moment in the movie. So he goes up to the Dementor, Harry hears things, hears screaming in his head and he passes out.
Yeah.
When he wakes up, Ron's like, yeah, after like Lupin got up, he went to like the Dementor with the fire in his hand. He said... Look, there's none of us hiding Sirius Black under any of our cloaks, so you have no business here. The Dementor doesn't go away, so Lupin did like this spell where some white thing came out, and the Dementor
got the gist.
Dementor licked its lips, fully satisfied, and then went away. And that taught me how I should deal with all my problems in life, Harry.
To deal with all strange figures entering the train compartment.
Just in my hand, fling it forward, say, Spider-Man, you ho, and then all my problems will be solved. So Harry was on the floor when he passed out, and he gets up, Lupin gives him a bit of chocolate.
But what I'm interested in, what makes more sense about that, because I can't remember how it happens in the film.
Oh, sorry. So in the film, the Dementor opens the door first and then Lupin wakes up and straight away Lupin does Expecto Patronum.
Oh, right.
And then just like the white light comes out, no actual animal form comes out or anything. That makes more sense rather than him conjuring like magic fire. Because well, first of all, why wouldn't he just fucking do Lumos?
That's true. Because I was thinking, well, providing a light source isn't that. I mean, it's complete. It's fully dark. Like he would just, you know, he just like poof, like flame to like light things up so people can see. But yeah, he would have just done Lumos.
Yeah, or just done a spell to turn the lights on in the carriage. Yeah. But no, he's like, how can I make this as spooky and dramatic as possible? So yeah, he gives Harry chocolate. Chocolate is used because it's good for. So the actual reason why chocolate is used a few times in this book is because chocolate is really, not really good, but if you're depressed, it like helps a little bit because of the phenylethylamine. Ooh. In chocolate. Mm. So there's very low amounts, but that's why you get like that when you eat a bit of chocolate, like a good amount or a bad amount, I guess. You get like sort of like a comforted feeling. It's from that chemical in it.
Huh.
So yeah, that. But obviously, because it's magic chocolate, I guess it must feel you make yeah, your white as rain.
I just assumed that like chocolate in the wizarding world has got some extra magic-y ingredient in it that Yeah.
But that's why she specifically used it as an antidote to the dementors, I guess.
Yes. So Harry, wakes up from having passed out and heard a screaming.
And he feels shame. Yeah. So they basically, they get off the train because Harry has passed out for quite a bit. So sort of continue the journey a bit further in that time.
Yeah. But Malfoy, I think while they're still on the train, Malfoy and Crabbe and Goyle arrive.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Did you really pass out, Potter?"
No, when they get off the train?
Oh, it might be.
I think it's just as they're like getting off. As they're getting off the train.
Yeah. And he's like, is what Longbottom's saying true? It's like, Neville, why is he going around telling people that Harry passed out? Especially like...
It's probably like open every carriage, like, "Harry passed out. I didn't know." And everyone's like, "Well, well done, Neville."
Yeah.
"You were less of a twat for 1 minute because Harry passed out and you didn't."
Yeah.
But I'm sure you wet yourself.
Oh, well, yeah. I wet myself, yeah. But
yeah, I was still conscious though the whole time, I swear.
Yeah. I felt it going down my leg and everything. It went cold straight away.
It's coming out of both ends. What? Pee. It's not how it works.
Yeah. Well, what happened to me then? We don't know, Neville.
No one knows.
Please close the door.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a poo, thanks. It's like, yeah. Oh, sorry. So they get to the castle, basically.
Yes, McGonagall pulls Harry and Hermione aside.
Yeah.
Leaving Ron to carry on to the feast by himself.
A little fact that disconcerted me a little bit is that her glasses are described as square.
What, McGonagall's?
Yeah, and I was like, that's unusual.
Yeah.
So I was just imagining them as like little sort of like roundy, like librarian-y, John Lennon-y type glasses.
Yeah.
She had square like Specsavers frames, and I was like, this is odd. But I was like, did she have like a different pair like every time she like appears? Sometimes she's got like Dame Edna glasses, sometimes like Elton John star glasses.
Yeah. And depending on what glasses she's wearing when she transforms into a cat, that's what the imprint she gets around her eyes.
That'd be sick. Also, I'd love that no matter how jazzy her glasses were, her demeanor just doesn't change. Oh, God.
Yeah, she's got like the multi with like peacock feathers like coming off them, and she's just like, "Potter, Granger, this way."
Yeah, and then Potter's like, "Oh, I like your glasses, miss." She's like, "What?" He's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to say anything. I didn't see anything. And he just pokes out his own eyes. Like, yeah. See, it's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So they go to McGee's office. She's like, "Harry, I heard you fucking passed out on the train.
You wanker."
Yeah, I just want you to know I don't appreciate that kind of behavior in my house, right? We're Gryffindors. We don't pass out.
Yeah, we're supposed to be the brave house.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
The only time I want you to be passed out is if you've been fucking bludgeoned in the head.
Yeah.
During a game of Quidditch, which we will fucking win. Do you understand me, boy?
Any more of that, you'll be going straight in Hufflepuff.
Yeah. Any more of that, you're going straight into the chokey. And it's like, oh, God, all right. I'm sorry, ma'am. She's like, "Good. Put your hand in my tin." It's like, no, not every time. I'm sick of doing this every time I go into this office. He's like, "Get a little shortbread, take it out. That's what it is all about." And Harry's like, in a monologue, he's like, "Harry was sick of her describing her vagina as shortbread."
But he thought it was best not to say anything and just take the shortbread.
It was either this or wade his way through a river of shit. So that happens. And then Hermione's been summoned, but she gets to speak afterwards. Madame Pomfrey shows up as well to give Harry the once over.
Yeah, she tries to give him some chocolate, and he says, "Oh, Professor Lupin already gave me some on the train." And she's like, "Oh, finally, a Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher who knows his remedies."
I was like, fuck off, Poppy Pomfrey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As soon as that was said, I was like, F me in my a-hole. That is not a thing.
Somebody please.
Somebody please. And then tell me why she's called Poppy. Grab me by the hair and tell me why she's named Poppy. that's not a thing. I'm sorry. No one would have named their daughter Poppy Pomfrey.
But then alliterative names are clearly a thing in the Wizarding world.
Maybe that's how she got the job.
Yeah.
He was like, well, yeah, so we did interview someone called Florence Nightingale, but I like the P. And I also like her name. She's like, oh, Dumbledore, I feel like we can achieve great things together. I'm sure we can.
Incidentally, I'm thinking of changing my name to Derek.
Or Dalbus. Dalbus, Dursival, Dolfric, Dryon. Oh, God. So Harry fucks off and Hermione stays behind and she comes out all shaken. And then he's like, oh, did she give you the shortbread too? She was like, yeah. It's okay, though. I put my finger in the dike and it was all okay. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yes. No, she comes out and I think she says, oh, she just wanted to talk to me about my new timetable.
Yeah.
And we find out what that little chat was about later.
Yes, we do.
They missed the sorting again. I was like, oh, so... Because, you know, we were, like, wondering how many sortings they actually see.
Yeah, well, I do remember that... I remember that in the fourth book is, like, oh, the first sorting since his first year. Then I couldn't remember if there were any more after that. And I think we discovered that they get one more.
Yeah, in book...
Five.
So what happens in book six?
Don't know, but I think we've already been through it on the pod, so we should probably move on.
So yeah, they do get to the Great Hall though, and
in time to hear Dumbledore's speech.
Yeah, which we all can't wait to hear. La la la. Dumbledore introduces Lupin, says your new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, Professor Lupin, and everyone's clapping, but Snape looks like he's fucking just been like sitting on a wasp.
Yeah, Snape wears his expression so plainly on his face. Like, people aren't, like, people can contain what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Like, but it just characters in books, I guess.
But I guess who has he got to sort of, like, maintain an artifice for?
Just general professionalism.
I guess so, but I feel like Snape just doesn't give a shit.
No, he doesn't, does he?
Yeah, I mean, like...
But I would have thought he would have more pride than that, because letting people see what you're feeling on your face all the time, so, like, sincerely, is quite a vulnerable thing.
It might be a really unique sitch, though. I feel like Lupin is so egregious to him that he just can't, like, deal with it.
Oh, right.
So here he's sitting there, like, fucking looking like, I don't know... An angry man, I guess.
An angry, creepy psychopath man.
Yeah, twisting a knife in his hands, like fucking letting the blood pool on the table.
Yeah. But yeah, but just before that, I think Dumbledore says he wants to get the serious stuff out of the way before he moves on to the good news.
Oh, of course, yeah.
He says that the...
I've been given the all clear. Yeah. And everyone's like, woo! He's like, yay! Another year of love ahead of us.
Also, we've got some Dementors in the school.
I'll
be trying my luck with some of them.
Well, I do like it icy. I do like it sad.
Sad and scabby.
I like to relive my worst moments. All concerning my sister, but hey, it's worth it for the payoff in the end.
Oh, God. Dumbledore tells the students that there are going to be Dementors stationed through the school to help because Sirius Black's on the loose. Even though, I mean, Dumbledore, does he not know the whole deal with Sirius?
No.
He doesn't?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
He doesn't find out until the end of the book.
Good.
Which is nice, I think. I would have hated it if he fucking knew the whole thing all along.
Yeah, like Chamber of Secrets, which I'm pretty sure he knew who opened it 50 years ago.
I think Dumbledore was the one opening it, really.
Yeah.
Just fucking conking Ginny on the head, opening the chamber, and being like, it's all going to come together.
So, yeah, he says there's going to be Dementors stationed through the school. They don't respond to pleas of innocence or, you know, any reasoning about why you're in a certain place. They just, you know, that's not in their nature. So just, you know, don't run afoul of them. Then he gives, then on to happier news, gives the news about Professor Lupin, Defense Against Dark Arts teacher, and Professor Kettleburn.
Yay!
Yeah, the one whose name we couldn't remember. Care of Magical Creatures teacher has decided he wants to spend more time with his remaining limbs, and so introduces Hagrid as the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. And the kids are inexplicably super pleased about that.
I mean, I think it's that thing where, like, I guess a shit teacher who's at least slightly affable is better than a strict teacher who you just can't stand, I guess.
Yeah, but given what the kinds of creatures that they know Hagrid has an affinity for.
Ah, but they don't. It's only Harry, Ron and Hermione that truly know. I don't know exactly.
And it's them that are super pleased about it.
That's because they're fucking wankers, though.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they would clap at anything.
But they're like, their experience of Hagrid's creatures are Norbert and Aragog.
Yeah, I feel like Ron should have been like, fucking hell.
Yeah, he got bitten by Norbert and his hand swelled up. And
yeah, he almost got killed by Aragog.
And he almost got killed by Aragog. He's terrified of spiders. And it's like, yeah, would they not...
Oh, God, that frightened me.
a door slammed him. And Gifter made a mess.
It's all right, though. It's Tom's flat, so he's got clean up.
But yeah, man, I'd be like, oh my God, what kind of creatures is he going to make us look after? And how many injuries are going to happen in lesson one? Turns out one.
I mean, to be fair, I will say this, like, we'll get to it, but he's not an incompetent teacher, really.
No, I suppose not. He does explain what you need to do with the animals quite well.
He actually knows a fuck ton about magical creatures.
Yeah.
So, in a way, it is actually kind of good. He just needs to be supervised.
Yeah.
He needs, like, a teacher's assistant in that classroom, really.
Yeah, you know? I think so.
He needs, like, a weekly Ofsted inspection, I feel. Yeah. You know? Yeah, so that finishes out that chapter. And the next one is chapter 6, Talons. I said that weird. Talons and tea leaves.
Yes.
So yeah, kind of, they go down to breakfast in the morning. Malfoy is retelling Harry's fainting story to everyone who will listen.
Yeah. And like, Malfoy needs to up his, like, shit talk game as well.
Yeah, for real.
Like, he's obviously, he's clearly fucking savage. He's got all of the shock factor, but none of the wit.
Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't really know why people even pay attention to him.
Some have said the same about this very podcast.
Yeah, they just say awful things and then laugh after them and they think that we're joining in, but we're not. Yeah. We're not. We're like the podcast equivalent of, like, Jackass, I feel.
Yeah.
This isn't highbrow comedy.
No, it is most definitely not that.
No one has a mustache here.
Not a monocle in sight.
So, yeah, they get given their timetables by Fred and George. I was like, why do they have, like, a stack of everyone's timetables?
Why did Fred and George give out the timetables?
Yeah, it was bizarre.
It is weird, isn't it? Yeah.
And then Hermione gets her one and she has, like, I think Ron's like, there must be a mistake on yours. Like, you've got, like, everything, pretty much. And Hermione's like, no, mind your own business. And she, like, tucks it away. And they commence lessons, basically. They have their first lesson of divination at the top of the North Tower.
Yeah.
I did think, and we might cut this just because it might just sound insensitive, even discussing it really, but I thought Hogwarts is not very accessible to anyone who might have, like, a mobility issue.
No, I mean, it isn't. Old-timely buildings don't tend to be.
But yes, but I can, so is, like, just sort of, like, physical disability, is that just not a thing in the Wizarding World then?
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem to be that. Well, only in the characters that we encounter. But then it's not. I mean, in terms of inclusivity, the Harry Potter series is not really a great model for that in any sense.
I guess so.
Which, given J.K. Rowling's very, very, you know, intellectual, slightly left wing brand of Twitter account, you know, I would think that if it had been written now, it probably would have.
I agree. Yeah.
It would be, because I don't think it's that. I think it was a product of the time rather than her being ignorant. I suppose ignorance was a product of the time, I guess.
I wouldn't even say it was ignorance. What's the word that you just, it wouldn't have even have, like, occurred to her?
Well, that is ignorance, really, isn't it?
I don't think so, because it's not that she wouldn't have been aware of it.
And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, I do agree, but I mean, I don't think that's the right word. Just, I don't think it's that. I don't think inclusivity would have occurred to her as, like, a necessity at that point in time, just because it wasn't a thing at that point
in
time.
No, in the way that it is now, really. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's just that thing of, like, when you know better, you do better, you know? And to think that no one, kind of, most people didn't know better at that point, you know?
Ignorance.
I mean, that
is just, it's just, yeah, ignorance has connotations of like negativity, because to call someone ignorant means to call them an idiot, but it doesn't mean that. It just means you just don't know.
Yeah, I think in like, in sort of a societal sense, yeah, it was ignorance. But I think for her, I feel like, because she was a teacher, remember? So I felt like she would have been privy to a lot of people who had different like things or different requirements. She like educated in Portugal, you know, so she had exposures to lots of different cultures and things like that.
Mm.
I just think that it wouldn't have occurred to her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, times have moved on, kind of. So yeah, they get into divination. There's a classic line. I wish we could play the audio clip from the book of Stephen Fry describing the room, because it's one of my two favourite like Fry lines, when he's saying like, Harry looked around and...
I'm almost certain I know what you're going to say.
Of course you do. It's like, and there seemed to be like, whatever, like a collection of chintz armchairs and fat little puffs.
Yeah. I literally just wrote the words fat little puffs.
So for those of you not on this side of the pond, puffs is a... It is a slur, but like sort of like a tea towel, like doily, like level of like homophobic slur. It's just what you would call like a gay person.
Yeah, a puff. Yeah. Generally like quite a camp gay person is what it implies, yeah. I think.
And obviously it's an awful thing to say, but it's like it was, it was never, people would never say it with like...
Malice.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of hate behind it. It was more just like... sort of like a way to like degrade someone, you know,
kind of. Yeah, I don't think, I think it's sort of fallen out of
kind
use.
Of I never hear it anymore.
No,
but then, you know, like, but then that's because no one uses like slurs in a very like casual friendly way anymore.
That's maybe,
unless
that's
you're
it,
doing
yeah.
it to be like satirically funny, you know, like how we would with like each other. We're doing it to sort of make fun of people who would say that very like casually and think it's okay. Like, okay, now any sort of thing that isn't the actual term, it's like, well, you're just saying that to actually make me feel like a lesser person, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of terms of like that have fallen out of use. But is that a UK specific thing then? I suppose
I think
it probably is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because in episodes of Buffy, Spike, the vampire Spike, who's American but does a British accent, which some people think is shit, but I think it's really good. He sometimes says poof, but because he doesn't know, he says poof. And that really bothers me, because I'm like, someone should have just said, it's actually poof.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah.
I quite like the portrait of the knight, Cadogan.
Right. Do you know what? Because when I read that when I was a kid, when I first read these words, I pronounced it as Cadogan.
Well, yeah, so did I.
Yeah,
but
so...
it is pronounced Cadogan. Like, there's a venue in London called Cadogan Hall.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. I'll allow Fry.
There we go. But yeah, I totally called him Sir Cadogan as well. Like Cardigan, because it looks like that.
He was played by Paul Whitehouse in the films before they cut him out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I know.
He's great.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he seems like...
he's a very, like, aggro knight.
Yeah, I know. He's like, mental, but, like, in the fun way.
He just wants to challenge everyone to a fucking fight.
Yeah. But then when they ask him, do you know the way to the North Tower? He's like, a quest! and like leads them up there in the heroic charge.
Oh God, yeah, he's cool. I like him.
Yeah.
So they get into divination. They meet Trelawney, who looks like...
It brings to mind a giant specky insect.
Yeah, I guess like a praying mantis.
Yeah, and I think she was in the film is quite true to the description in the book.
It wasn't for me.
Oh really?
Yeah, I imagined her. Do you remember The Worst Witch?
Nope.
Oh God. Okay, I guess most people won't. I don't know who to... Okay, how McGonagall is described to look in the books, if that makes sense, is how I imagine Trelawney to look. So tall, with like hair in a really tight bun.
See, it's funny. How I imagine Trelawney described in the books is how I imagine Trelawney to look.
Fuck off. No, like McGonagall in the books to me looks like Maggie Smith, right? So, but Trelawney looks like how... in the illustrated versions, right, of the book, which have quite recently come out, when you look at the illustration of McGonagall, which you should, if you have not seen it, Tom, you should, like, check it out. Mm. That's how I sort of imagine Trelawney to look, just with bigger glasses. Although, actually, I think a really cool description of Trelawney would be, like, you won't know who this is, but you should Google her as well. But I imagine she might look like Iris Apfel.
You're right, I don't know who that is.
When you see her, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I get it. So, yeah, she comes out of nowhere, says, divination. And then she says, yeah, like, divination will be sort of no use to most people because, like, having the actual sight is quite rare and stuff. And I'm like, what's the fucking point in teaching it then if it's only, if you can't really do it if you've got the actual, like, skill?
Yeah, and also I thought she really shouldn't be so nonchalant about just, like, telling people stuff that's going to happen in their future. Because yeah. That can really fuck some people up.
I think she loves it.
Well, yeah, she clearly does. But, like, there are so many ramifications to telling people that. Like, oh, by the way, that's that thing that you're fearing the most will happen on October 16th.
I think she might see it as, like, her responsibility.
Yeah, but you know? There's a responsibility that comes with knowing that stuff that is arguably to not tell people just every little kind of...
I think she must deem everything as important, of vital importance then. She's like, I have to, if I have the gift, I must share it.
Yeah. She's a lunatic.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a fucking mental case.
Yeah. But,
and Hermione is like, Hermione just gives no shits about calling her out on it. And Hermione's so, like, determined to dismiss it as a branch of magic. So Hermione feels as I do about divination. But what I wrote was that I might not be quite so eager to dismiss it if I literally went to a magic school.
I think it's just from her, it's just this insecurity over the fact that it's not something that she can excel at with, like, reading.
Well, Ron hits the nail on the head, and when he says, you just don't like it because it's something that you're rubbish at.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think for her, if she's not got a natural aptitude for it, she can't deal with it.
Because, yeah, the first thing Trelawney says is, like, books will only take you so far in this if you don't have, like, the gift.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, what? Like, offended to her very core.
But also means, what's the point of even having the fucking subject in the first place?
Yeah.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
Also, like, the little predictions that she makes, all of them actually do kind of end up coming true, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So she actually isn't full of shit. Well, everyone, like, dismisses her, but throughout the book series, actually, she just says things.
Yeah, she's actually quite good at the little sort of almost inconsequential things.
Like, even in book six, she gets like a tarot card when she's losing her mind a little bit, and she's like, "Huh, the lightning struck tower. No, that can't be right." Blah blah blah, and it's like, well, that's the Dumbledore death that she's, like, seeing.
Yeah, exactly. So there is something that she does.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we know that she does actually have the true sight. Because...
Yeah, but even, like, her, like, pseudo-sight is sight.
Yeah.
It's like Hermione does, like, leave in Easter.
Yeah.
Even though what's-her-name wasn't, like, dreading a rabbit die, and her rabbit does die on that particular day. Like,
yeah, I mean, exactly. And so that's, like...
Yeah, she's not entirely full of shit.
No.
I think it's just her presentation, really. She says it in a way that makes you disbelieve her.
Yeah, maybe.
So after that, they do tea leaves. They do tea leaving.
Tea leaving.
And they have to, like, make out what's in each other's glasses. And Ron looks at Harry's and sees... Oh, he's like, he sees his thing. And it's like, yeah, well, it's, according to this, you're going to be miserable, but you're going to be happy about it.
Yeah.
And then
I see, like, extreme misery.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
But then, what's her name? Trelawney looks at his cup and she goes, "My boy, you have the Grim."
Yeah.
And Harry's like, "What?" And then she's like, "Oh, that's like the death omen, blah, blah, blah." And Ron's like shaken because he's like, "Yeah, my uncle saw the Grim and 24 hours later he died."
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, "Oh, this is bollocks. Yeah. I have no time for this."
And then a little later on, they get to Transfiguration. McGonagall transforms into a cat and the room's in silence. And she was like, "Wow, that usually gets an applause. What's going on?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Well, we just had our first divination lesson." And she says, "Ah, I see. Now, which of you will be dying this year?"
Yeah. Yes, because I want to make her last year at Hogwarts the best it can be.
Yeah.
Or the shortbread you want. Like, yay! And Harry's like, "No, you don't know what it's like.
Please, no more shortbread."
Yeah, and then they go to Hagrid's first To Care a Magical Creature's lesson.
Yeah, which is actually, it was like excruciating to listen to it, like how excited Hagrid is and everything when you know what's going to happen.
God, yeah, and when they're like, "Yeah, none of us can open the books," then Hagrid's like, "Well, you've got a stroke, of course."
Yeah.
And then Malfoy's like, "Oh, of course. Like, yeah. How foolish of me to not realise."
Which, to be fair, would
yeah,
probably
an entirely
be...
appropriate response. Yeah. And then Hagrid's like, "Oh, I thought it would be funny."
Yeah, I thought they were funny.
And I was like, "Well, of course you fucking would, Hagrid."
Yeah.
Oh, that fucking... I hate him so much, Tom. I just can't deal with him.
And, well, to be fair, for me, I find hatred to be a bit strong.
I mean, what's less than hatred? Like,
I don't know.
I just can't. I couldn't tolerate him. That's it.
Yeah, I was gonna say intolerance.
Yeah,
but then that has its own set of.
Yeah, really, aren't they just the same thing? Yeah, I just, as soon as he said that, like, I thought it would be funny. I was like, well, that's just it, isn't it, Hagrid? You always think it'd be funny.
Yeah, you always think these things are harmless.
Yeah.
And then a student gets fucking slashed.
Fucking hell, yeah. Oh, Hagrid says, well, today's lesson, he doesn't say anything. He just shows the waiter's arm and Hippogriffs come out of the forest. Yeah. Well, More than one.
He goes off to get them, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and
there's like three of them or four of them.
There's a dozen of them, it says.
Oh, really? Shit, yeah. Son. So, yeah, those are the animals that Hagrid's been looking after then, I guess.
Yeah.
So they live in the forest, right?
I guess so.
And okay.
And so Hagrid's like, he gives them the little rundown. You've got to be very polite. Don't insult them, whatever you do. You need to let them make the first move. Well, he says you need to let them make the first move because it's polite, but you also need to bow and then wait for them to bow. So isn't that kind of like you making the first move?
Hmm, I guess so. Maybe by first move, he means like to touch them in any way.
Yeah, maybe.
You know.
But,
Hagrid's rules of dating. Okay, so first you got a bow. If they bow too, then you can get your fingers right in there. Yeah. And have a little scribble.
So he's looking for a volunteer to go first. And everyone's like, no thanks.
What happens? Because in the film, everyone sort of backs away and Harry doesn't realize it. So he just accidentally ends up being the one that's standing out front, which makes sense.
I hate that. Just, of course it's Harry, the one who like isn't in on the uniform stepping back. But no, Harry just feels bad because everyone's in silence and Hagrid's like, right. No one's a Hagrid. Harry's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, I get it. He's his friend.
I mean, it works out lovely.
Yeah, it works out all right. He bows, Buckbeak bows back, and then Harry gets on him.
Fly. A much shorter fly than in the film. He just... goes around the paddock in
the said book. Buckbeak took him once around the paddock and then landed again. But in the film, he goes like all around the castle, doesn't he?
Yeah, and over the lake and shit. And Harry's fucking loving it.
Yeah.
It is a really beautiful sequence, to be fair.
Yeah.
And the music's good too.
In the book, he's somewhat shitting himself.
Yeah, because it is a very rough ride. There's no like reins or anything. He's just grabbing onto the bird's like neck.
Yeah.
So that happens. And that emboldens everyone else. Everyone sort of goes and finds a bird. I mean,
hippogriff.
Yeah, for lack of a better word. And then they all bow, and like Neville's having trouble getting his to bow, which of course he is.
Yeah, because that's what Neville does. He has trouble.
He can't make it bow because it's not a big cow. It's Neville. And then Malfoy's like, oh, well, of course, if Harry can do it, then it can't be that hard, could it, you great ugly brute?
Yeah, and then instantly, like everyone else, when Malfoy gives those little jabs out, just goes, grumble, grumble, shut up, Malfoy.
Buckbeak just douche.
Slash. I can just imagine the indignant look on Buckbeak's face, just like, ugh.
Yeah, like turning away, like, oh,
yeah.
His claw. Yeah, and it fucks up Malfoy's arm, he's bleeding.
Yep.
Then Malfoy's like, oh, God, I'm dying. And Hagrid's like, oh, yeah. I hate that bit in the movie. It's like, it's killed me. It's killed me. And it's like, shut up. Even the way he says Dementor in the movie pisses me off.
What does he say?
He's like, oh, Dementor, Dementor. And it's like, fuck off. Just say Dementor. Just say Dementor, like every other East London lads would.
I think I say Dementor.
I have noticed, Tom. yeah, so Hagrid has to rush him up to the good old Pom. Free. And
Pop.
Yeah.
B.
Pop her in her pomfrey.
Pop her in her pomfrey.
And Malfoy's like, oh, wait until my father hears about this.
Yeah.
And it's all like, oh, fuck. And then everyone, all the Slytherins are like cussing out Hagrid, and Harry's like, yeah, it was fucking Malfoy's fault though, wasn't it? Which is fair enough, I think. Yeah, and so they go and have lunch and they want to go and see Hagrid later that night to make sure he's all right.
Yeah, I guess it's evening. Not. And they wander down and they say they were glad not to see anyone because they weren't entirely certain that they were supposed to be out because it's kind of sunsetting.
Yeah. And then Hagrid's in his room. He's completely naked, got a bucket of whiskey.
Yeah.
Got
he's sat on something that they can't quite see. It's disappeared inside.
Yeah, it's just sat on Fang. Yeah, he's just, you know, looking fucking like he doesn't know what to do with himself, drunk as fuck.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Hagrid.
Oh, Hagrid.
Please put some clothes on. The sight of your foreskin is making me feel sick. And they're like, Hagrid, it wasn't that bad. Like, it was Malfoy's fault. Pull yourself together, man. And Hagrid's kind of like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like, we'll back you up. Don't worry about it. We know. And he gets all emotional and is like,
gives him a big bone-breaking hug.
Yeah.
And their lifeless bodies drop to the floor. And Hagrid's like, oh, fucking hell, not again. He just quickly like pulls them over to his bed and like hides them on top of the stack of papers he has, pulls a quilt over them. Like, all right, if no one finds out, no one saw him come down here, it'll all be fine. Wait, was Hermione with them? Yes, she was. I'll have to kill Hermione too. It's like, Hermione, I'm sorry, but there can't be no witnesses.
Come here.
Oh, God. And then the rest of the book is just Hagrid trying to get away with murder.
Yeah. Dumbledore trying to cover up for him again.
And then when he fucking goes back to Hermione's body, he's starting to decompose at this point. He's like, well, might as well have a little fumble. And then, but he accidentally finds their time turner and he's like, oh, thanks, sweet wizard Jesus. He turns it back as far as it will go. He's like, well, it's pretty dark here. And then he witnesses the big bang and he's like, fucking hell. Hagrid fucks up again. Bum, 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 bum. He only meant to sit on Fang. Instead, he saw the big bang is Hagrid. Anyway, and then Hagrid, no, but he doesn't kill them. He hugs them,
doesn't
their backs
he?
Crack. No, believe it or not.
Oh, shit.
Hagrid and the Goblet of Fire. Oh, I don't want to witness that journey. Fucking hell. Yeah, and then he's like, fucking hell, you guys aren't supposed to be alone after sunset. What were you thinking coming down here?
Yeah, marches them back up to the castle.
Yeah, he's like, oh, don't want you coming down to see me after sunset ever again.
Yeah, I'm not worth that.
Yeah, I'm not worth that. Just like my dad always said, I'm not worth that. And that actually is the end of the chapter.
Yes, yes it is.
And that is the end of this, episode, podcast.
Friendship.
Oh, God. But yeah, as for you, you should really enjoy these books. Book three is such a solid book.
Yeah, yeah.
And I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's great. I often do find myself just listening to it, just getting immersed in it and just thinking, oh, I'm supposed to be thinking of things to say about it as a discussion podcast.
A discussion podcast. That doesn't sound fun.
A hilarious discussion podcast.
That doesn't sound fun either. Let's call it a podcast of debauchery. There we go. Which it kind of is, to be fair.
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah. A debauchcast.
Debauchcast, yeah.
Or a podchery.
A podchery.
Ew. Don't like how that sounds. Or feels.
I'll stop doing it then.
Oh, God. So, yeah, guys, right, please, right, even if you don't use Apple Podcasts, just fucking download the app. Stop being a cunt. Download the app. Give us a 5-star rating, because any less, and we're just going to assume that you're racist. And give us a review as well. Let us know how you like it. You don't need to put, like, any kind of word before the word funny or hilarious. Just say, yeah, the hosts are funny. Those are hilarious. You don't need any quantifier for that.
such a bitch.
Oh, God. Please do that, because it really helps people discover us. It might help us show up on, like, the What's New bit on, like, the, like, random browse thing, which is how a lot of people find podcasts. So, yeah, do that. Tell your friends, you know, pay it forward. Find us on Instagram at PaulieRedPod. Find us on Twitter at PaulieRedPod. Email us at PaulieRed@gmail.com. Have we got any other ways of them to contact us?
Owl.
We do love a good owling.
Yes, or exotic parrot, depending on where you are in the world.
Oh, I don't think they remember why that's funny yet.
Don't they?
No.
What do you mean?
Because they don't know that Sirius used a parrot.
Oh, no. We've mentioned it, though.
Have we?
Well, you have. I'd forgotten.
Oh, isn't that just us?
Just pop your head in our fireplace.
Please. So, yeah, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.
Bye.
Bye-bye.